As most of us know, this past week, at least in our community, one morning there was terrible fog. Well, is that the way to put it? Terrible fog. At least the fog was so dense that you could hardly see about 50 yards. Soup it was. And north of town, there was quite an accident. In our local paper, the police said that through that fog, where people could only see about 50 yards, they clocked people going 55 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour in that fog. Absolutely incredible. Why there weren't more accidents, we might ask. There probably should have been at that with that kind of a situation in existence. At any rate, these accidents come. People are injured. And what do we learn from them? God's hand is, in fact, in such situations. God uses such things to train us. Yes, even to discipline us, to educate us. Isn't it true that we learn in such situations much about ourselves? That we learn much about God. And in this educational process, God is training us in holiness. He's training us in righteousness. Look at verses 10 and 11 in Hebrews chapter 12. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best for them, but He, that is God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The destination to which God is taking us in these situations is holiness and righteousness. Why, we ask? Why? Well, again, God is training us. We've said that before. We've emphasized that. And so it's incumbent upon us, as we've said before, to take advantage of these training situations, if you will. And that's really the thought behind our text this morning in the 14th verse of Hebrews chapter 12. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Why is it so important for us to take advantage of the education which God is giving us in various situations in life? It's important because, dear friends, in Christ, salvation itself is wrapped up in this training process. Pursue peace with all men, the writer to the Hebrews says, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. This is why it's so important to take advantage of these various situations. The writer to the Hebrews says to us that we are to pursue peace. And the pursuit, dear friends, of this peace is absolutely essential to our salvation. When we talk about pursuing peace here, we're not saying that we ought to indulge in peace at any price. The writer to the Hebrews does not mean that we are to compromise our standards. The writer to the Hebrews does not mean that we are to be passive. It's interesting because Hebrews, again, is written to men and women, Jewish folk, probably from the city of Alexandria, who have migrated to Rome. They are under much persecution. And one of the things that they are faced with in Rome is emperor worship. Hail Caesar! And some of these men and women no doubt were faced with either bowing to Caesar or bowing to Jesus Christ. Pursue peace does not mean compromise your principles. Pursue peace does not mean turn back from the principles of Jesus Christ. It would be the same way in our society, the same thing in our society. We have some tough things going on in our culture, in our society today. This whole drive for homosexuality to be more open and accepted in our society, it seems to me, is one of the big issues that Christians are facing today. A little church by the name of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in New Jersey is filing suit against the state of New Jersey. The state of New Jersey has passed a law in which they are saying hiring individuals or renting to individuals based on sexual preference is illegal. And so this church has gone to court and said, look, are you going to force us in our churches to hire homosexuals? Are you going to do that? We want to know. Because we're going to stand against that. That has to be done. And so, the writer to the Hebrews, when he says pursue peace, does not mean compromise. We have to get that. What does he mean? Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And so the terms of peace must always be the terms established by Jesus Christ. And the terms of peace, as we understand them and as they are taught by Jesus Christ, are rooted directly in the salvation which we have through Jesus Christ. Peace means, first of all, then peace with God. Peace means that we are no longer at odds with God. Peace means that we're thankful for Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, and he became sin. He became sin. The sins of people like you and me were literally placed upon him. Because that was the case, Jesus Christ nailed to cross, bore those sins and the penalty of death for people like us. The wrath of God came upon him, and the center of the storm of God's wrath swirled about him. He died for the salvation of people like us. He took what we would otherwise have to take so that there would be peace between us and God. What a wonder that is. That's where the peace begins. Because we know that peace, it's incumbent upon each one of us then, people who know that peace with God, to be at peace with others. What do we pray? What did we just pray this morning? Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Boy, those words are powerful words, folks. Those are words which say to us to the same degree that we understand we are forgiven, we forgive others. Do you remember Mary who came to Jesus in the house of a Pharisee? Jesus went into that house and Jesus reminded the householder, he said, you know, it's the custom when you have a guest for that guest to have his feet washed. You didn't wash my feet, but this woman has come and she shed her tears on my feet and she wiped her feet with her hair. How much love do you suppose she has in her heart? Much was the answer. Yes, much love in her heart because she was forgiven much. And that's the principle. That's great. And that's what I think the writer to the Hebrews is talking about. That kind of thing. Pursue peace. The writer to the Hebrews says, and he not only says pursue peace, but he says pursue peace with all men. The pursuit of peace among all men is essential to salvation. This is what our text is getting down to. There are no people with whom we should not pursue peace. Notice that our text says pursue peace with all men. Our text doesn't say pursue peace with the devil. We're not to pursue peace with the devil. That's not the person with whom we are supposed to be at peace. Eve was at peace in the garden with the devil after the fall. And God had to come and put enmity between Eve and that serpent. No, we're not supposed to pursue peace with the devil. But our text does say that we are to pursue peace with all men. This is an amazing thing. This means, dear friends in Christ, that I have to pursue peace and you have to pursue peace with those whom you may consider your enemy. That's amazing. We just read from 1 Samuel and a story about David. And if there was ever an enemy of David, it was King Saul. Saul tried several times to kill David. And here David went down into the camp of Saul, and they were all asleep there. And the spear was stuck by the head of Saul, and there was a jug of water there, right next to the head of Saul as he slept on the ground. And David and his companions went down there. And the opportunity was present. And one of David's companions even asked, he said, God has placed your enemy into your hands now, David. Let me strike him with a spear. No, David said, I'll not do it. I'll not do it. He took the spear and the jug of water. And he went away. Pursue peace with all men. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, not easy. Not easy. But the Word of God. The writer to the Hebrews goes on and he says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Some of the versions have that word sanctification translated holiness, and that's a good translation. Pursue holiness. Pursue sanctification. And it's interesting because the pursuit of holiness or the pursuit of sanctification means making changes in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm a guy that needs to make changes in my life. I'm working on some areas now, right now, in my own life where changes need to be made. And I think that's important for all of us. It means that we need to be able to accept suggestions and criticism. We need to be able to accept these kinds of things from others. so that we can make the appropriate changes. Last summer, I had the privilege of teaching a class in a small seminary in the Colorado Rockies. I was glad to be there because it was up in the Rockies. It was hot in Kansas, but it was nice up there. And after 5 days of classes, I gave to that class a sheet so they could critique what I had done in class. And I thought it was real interesting because when I told the fellow that's the director of the seminary, the president of the seminary, that I had done this, he says, "You know, very few of the instructors I ask to come up here do that, ask for suggestions or critique." One of the fellows in that class was really hard on me. All of those critiques were really good, except one guy was really hard on me. And he said, "You know, what you did in this class, not biblical. Not biblical." And really, that struck home with me. Because I don't want to do something that's not biblical. And I really had to wrestle with that. And over a period of time, as I wrestled through that critique sheet that was given to me, I found it very helpful because I began to understand where this guy was coming from. And I could adjust my class with some information that put it in a context where he understood better where I was coming from. And I made some changes. And that was good, you see. That's what this sanctification process is all about. And it's very interesting, folks, because the writer to the Hebrews is telling us that a refusal to accept our need for change is an evidence of a lack of grace. Do we need to say that again? That a refusal on our part, a refusal to recognize our own need of change, is an evidence of a lack of grace. Several years ago, I was involved in a situation in a church in Oklahoma where a pastor was in trouble. And people in this little church had asked the pastor to resign, and he didn't want to. And I was put on a committee to go visit with this pastor. And as we sat together in a room, several men together, this young man repeatedly justified his actions, repeatedly rationalized, and repeatedly attempted to show where he was correct. And of course, a lot of you know me. Sometimes I'm a little blunt. I finally said, "You know, Jesus said that the fellow who keeps justifying himself is not justified before God. We've got to be careful here." And I think that was right. It was a few years later I got a call from a dear friend who was an elder in that same area. And he said to me, "Do you remember this young man?" I said, "Very well, I remember." He said he was just arrested for child molesting. And I was blown away. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Oh, dear friends, the pursuit of sanctification is absolutely necessary to our salvation. It's necessary for you, and it's necessary for me. And without the pursuit of sanctification and without progress in the whole matter of sanctification. There's no real hope of heaven. That's what it comes down to. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. You know, those are some words. They really are. There's a doctrine that's going about the evangelical church today that I believe is utterly false. It's the doctrine of the so-called carnal Christian. And you know what that doctrine teaches? That's a doctrine which teaches that a person may be actually saved and live in all manner of sin and yet go to heaven. Really strange. It's a doctrine which says, in essence, that a person can be a Christian bank robber. Can you imagine that? Years ago, there was a fellow who was associated with the mafia who went to a Billy Graham crusade and made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And later on, when his lifestyle didn't change and he was challenged by some others who were faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, his response was, "Well, you're a Christian engineer. Why can't I be a Christian bank robber?" You know, we laugh at that sort of thing. Why can't I be a Christian prostitute? Why can't I be a Christian homosexual? You know, in our newspaper, just this week, there was a letter from someone. The name was left off. The editor said, for obvious reasons. And this fellow says, "I'm gay. God knows it, and God loves me." That's not what the Bible says. See, we have to be careful in these areas. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And when the writer to the Hebrews says, "See the Lord," that's the great hope that we have. Is that not the case? That every believer in Jesus Christ hopes one day to be in the presence of the Almighty, and not in fear, but in raptures of love. That's the hope of the believer. And there will be special sight given to people at that time. We won't see so much with our physical eyes, as there will be a deep communion between us and Jesus Christ, mind to mind and heart to heart and spirit to spirit, rolling in the raptures of the love of God. You know what I think? If we got very much of a taste of that in this physical frame, we wouldn't be able to handle it. It would be so much for us. But in glory, we will seek more. And that's what we look forward to. But without sanctification, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, we will not see the Lord. That's what he says. That's why sanctification is so essential to each of us. Well, we began by saying that this text comes at a part in the book of Hebrews where the writer to the Hebrews is talking about training in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And that training involves discipline, and we learn from that training and discipline. And we need to take advantage of it. And that's what this text is about. That's why we need to pursue peace pursue sanctification. What's happening in your life this morning? Are you pursuing sanctification? You know, that word pursuit is very interesting in the original language. It's the very same word that in other places in the Bible is translated, of all things, persecution. In other words, it's a very strong word. And it means, let's get after it. Let's do it. And let's do it with vigor and might. And let's throw all of our strength behind it. Is that where you are? I didn't tell any jokes this morning, did I? Didn't make you laugh this morning. Wow. Probably should have done that. Break this up a little bit. But here we are, at the end of the hour, and the text comes home to us in the question, are you taking advantage of the situations in life that God has placed about you and in which God has placed you so that you may grow and flourish? That's what our text is about. I pray that you'll do it. Would you pray for me that I'll also do it? Let's pray together now. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for their listening. Forgive me where I have not adequately expressed the thoughts set forth in your word. Forgive me, Lord, where perhaps I haven't made it understandable, or perhaps, Lord, where I haven't set it forth in a way that's desirable. In any event, Father, I pray that you'll use your word in our hearts, that we will, each one of us, pursue peace with one another and pursue the sanctification, the holiness that we ought to. And I pray, O God, that out of that will come a real assurance for each one of us that one day we will see you, the Lord. Bless us to that end, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.